Good evening. This is the Pacifica Audit Committee of for March 10th, 2015. My name is Fred Blair. I'm the chair of the 2014 Audit Committee. Tonight we're going to have a meeting reviewing the fiscal year 2013 audit, which is just
Fred,
completed.
Fred, we need to take roll first.
Yes,
on the screen.
I'm sorry. Secretary, would you please take the roll and establish quorum?
Okay. Fred Blair.
Present.
Steve Brown.
Present.
Virginia Browning.
Here.
Carolyn Burden. Maria Elena Castellanos. Jose Luis Fuentes will be late. Jane Gatewood.
Present.
Donald Goldmacher.
Present.
William Heerwagen. Kim Kaufman is me. I'm the secretary and I am here. Frank Lefevre. Robert Mark.
Present.
Brenda Medina.
Present.
Lawrence Reyes. Pete Tucker.
Here.
And also present is Raul Salvador and Grant Lamb from Armanino. Correct?
Present. This is Grant.
Raul, you still there?
Yes, this is Raul from Pacifica Foundation, CFO.
Yeah, William Heerwagen joining the call.
Okay.
I'll be on mute. I'm driving.
All right.
Am I correct that to mute your phone is #1?
I think that's correct. I have a thing on my phone, so I don't really know.
Okay. That's use the Ring 2 system, and this pound, again, repeating it will unmute your phone. Okay. Well, we have quorum, so let's establish the agenda for tonight. Kim sent out a agenda to everybody on the committee. We've already done roll call. The next meeting of does anybody have? Well, the general agenda for the committee is to talk with the auditor tonight about the audit, and then the last action of the committee will be to vote to accept or reject the audit at the end of the meeting. Yes. Is there any additions to this agenda?
Well, I thought that we would approve minutes at the end and also set the next meeting at the end. Okay?
We have
the auditor on the phone, let's get into our discussion with him.
Okay. Well, again, are there any additions to the agenda? Hearing none, we have an agenda. So we've already done the roll call. Grant, do you want to make any kind of start off by making any kind of presentation?
Sure. Let me just start by introducing myself. My name is
Maria Elena Castellanos on the line from Houston, Texas.
Maria, we already started.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry,
okay, just
Grant.
Wanted to
go
introduce
ahead.
Myself, and then I know there's been a few emails sent out with questions, so then we can jump into answering the questions from the emails. But again, my name is Grant Lamb. I'm a partner in the audit department, and I will be assisting Paul O'Grady with servicing your account. Paul O'Grady, unfortunately, could not be on the call. He had a prior commitment he could not get out of. But I've been assisting him with servicing your account. Ben Stortz was the previous manager on your account. He left the firm to pursue another opportunity, and since he's left, I've taken over the responsibility to get your audit completed. As far as the status of your audit, we are currently in the process of wrapping up the audit. There's still a few items we need to complete our audit documentation. But we have a solid draft ready. We've sent the draft out to management and the audit committee, and management and the audit committee are in the process of reviewing that draft. And upon approval of the draft, from management and the audit committee, we can issue the financial statements. We are also in the process of drafting your management letter. Our efforts have been focused on getting the financial statements issued. Once that's done, we will focus our efforts towards getting a draft of your management letter issued.
Do you have a timeline for that?
Raul and I are working on going through the prior year letter to determine which one of the comments have been remediated, which comments still exist. That's the first step. I know Raul is down in Southern California now working on other tasks. So once we get that initial response back, I'm aiming for sometime next week or two.
I'm sorry to broken in, but people have asked about when the management letters be issued. You can continue. I'm sorry.
That's right. We definitely are working on that letter. But again, our efforts have been focused on getting the financial statements issued first. So with respect to the financial statements, we will be issuing an unmodified audit opinion. So that's a clean audit report or clean bill of health, if you will. So that's a bit of a good news I can share with everyone, that it is a clean audit report. And so everyone has a copy of the draft financial statements. I don't know if there's a specific format for this discussion, but if not, I'd like to jump into those questions and hopefully answer the questions that were brought up by the audit committee members.
This is Kim. And can I just ask a point of
go ahead, Kim. You have the floor.
Before we go, when you say you're going to issue financial statements, what does that mean?
That means we will issue audited financial statements with our signature on the opinion. So you have now just a draft financial statements without our signing of the opinion. So
okay.
When I say issue, I mean finalized and delivered.
Okay. So, I mean, but it's basically the same financial statements that we have that will just be finalized.
It's what you have now, pending any changes that may come as a result of this call.
Can we ask what you're still working on, so we know what's maybe still not stable?
First, we need to go over the questions that were brought up. I think that may lead to a few edits to your financial statements.
Okay.
We'll need the green light from the audit committee for us to issue. And then we also need the management representation letter, which is a standard letter that management signs representing that they've provided us with everything we've asked for during our audit. That's the final piece that we need to finalize the audit.
Uh-huh.
Hi, I'm sorry to intervene. Carolyn Bergen here. I just joined the call. Excuse my lateness.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Carolyn, we just had an introduction by Grant Lamb. Who's the representing Armamino tonight.
Uh-huh, thank you. Sorry I missed that. I will pick it up on the audio.
Okay. Well, I'm going to suggest a procedure for asking the questions so that we'll just go alphabetically down the list of members of the committee and allow each member to ask two questions initially.
Fred, point of order?
Yeah.
Brenda, yes.
So I believe that that Grant just mentioned that for the people who have emailed questions, he's going to go over those first. So I would request of the committee that he go over those questions first so people are not asking the same question over and over again.
Is that correct, Grant? Is that what you like to do?
Sounds reasonable.
I can do whatever you think is the easiest format, but I do recommend just going over the first set of questions that you emailed last night, Fred, and you emailed it to the entire group at 6:59 p.m. on Monday.
That's fine with me. What I'm suggesting for a procedure is after he finishes going over the questions that have been emailed to him, that we allow questions from the committee members in alphabetical order. Two questions per committee member until we get to the end of the committee list, and then if there's time left, that we allow people to ask additional questions. Is that okay with the committee?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, Grant, you want...
Okay.
Sure. So does everyone have a copy of those questions in front of them? That may be easier for purposes of answering the questions. So if everyone can get that open, that would be helpful. If not, I'll read through the questions and answer it as well. So I'll start with... So Fred, you sent me two emails yesterday. One with... looks like there's about 8 questions. And then you also forwarded me an email from, let me see, looks like you
from Robert Mark.
From Robert Mark, right. So I'll go through the first set of questions first. And the first question is with respect to premiums expense. And the question is, where are the premiums expense? And why does KPFK have 18,876 listed in premiums and shipping when the amount was in the hundreds of thousands of dollars? Okay, so premiums expense, so that represents the donations of CDs and books and clothing and other goods that are used for donor giveaways, and that's recorded net of the listener support revenue. So that's not separately broken out as an expense line item. So if you look at your statement of activities, those related expenses are grouped and reported net of the listener and support donations.
What page are you referring to?
So if you're looking at the draft financial statements, I'm referring to page 4. So this is a consolidated statement of activities. If you want to look at the statement of activities broken out by division, let's go to page 19. And on page 19, you'll see the revenues and expenses by division. So premiums expense is recorded net of the listener support and donation number.
Okay, this is Kim. I'm not tracking this yet. So I'm on page 19 now. This is what? Where is it?
Okay, so the first line item, do you see listener support and donations?
On page, which page? 19.
Page 19.
Okay. It's confusing because I have PDF page numbers and then
no,
four
the page
numbers.
Numbers are on the draft.
Yeah, this is that.
Right.
So that's,
okay.
You're 19.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Oh,
I'll
that's
the
okay.
Pages on the draft.
Because I couldn't find your first page 4, but the other one, which I'd like to go back to, so we'll get there. So, listener support, right, okay.
So included in the listener support line item are the premiums expenses that's netted against the listener support revenue.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the premiums expense is included. And the second part of the question is, why does KPFK have $18,000 listed in premium and shipping? And that's reported on page... if you go to page 20 of the draft financial statements, on page 20 of the draft financial statements, if you go to the line item premiums and shipping for donations,
yep.
There's 18,876 listed under KPFK.
Mm-hmm.
There's also 8,129 listed for KPFA, and there's 2,395 listed for KPFC for a total of 29,400. So these amounts should actually be regrouped as part of the revenues. So this is one of the changes I'll be making to the draft after this call, is regrouping these items as part of the listener support revenues to be consistent with how the other items are presented.
Can I ask a question on
certainly.
This before we move on?
Sure.
So... okay, I sort of understand. I mean, I understand what you said. I don't know that I would qualify, you know, like $500,000 as giveaways, because there's a significant expense. Do you have somewhere that we can get of what that expense was, what the premium expense was, before you included it into the listener revenue?
We can pull together that detail, and you know what? Now that we talk about it, it might be a good idea to disclose that amount in the notes to your financial statements?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That included in listener support is X amount, whatever that amount is, of premiums expense.
Yes.
But, Kim, the second part question is hundreds of thousands of dollars. What are you referring to there?
I'm referring to the amount of premiums that KPFK spends, which is probably not quite twice as much as KPFA, but it's significant. But you got a couple of hundred thousand dollars, too, for premium expenses.
No, I don't believe so.
All right, well.
And I don't believe KPFK has hundreds of thousands.
Oh, we do, absolutely. Last year was like $500,000.
Wow.
Oh, absolutely. This is
that's absurd.
I'm sorry, Chair. Can you make sure that there's no crosstalk?
I'll try to. Kim, that was Robin Marks speaking with you, right?
No, it was Donald Goldbacher.
Thank you, Don.
So, and I'm not sure on what you said when you referred to page 4, Grant. Which page 4? Because your early pages aren't marked, or I just couldn't find it.
So the initial page 4 is a statement of activities, and it's a page 4 of the financial statements, not of the PDF file. And it's a consolidated statement of activities, so it doesn't show the breakout by division.
Do we
it shows
have
a company-wide statement of activities.
Okay, 13, 12.
And I was just referencing that page to show that the premium expense group is part of the listener support and donations.
Carolyn, I think you should mute yourself. Carolyn, maybe? Is that Carolyn making?
I think that's Brenda. So.
Okay. Well, everybody, just, you know, mute if you're not talking.
I'm on mute.
So I'm on page 5. No, this is page 4. Statement of activities. And what did you call it?
Well, page 4 is just a consolidated statement of activities, so it's company-wide. It doesn't show the breakout by station.
Okay, so that's just
I'll just reference that page. Right, but it's probably a better idea to reference the latter pages down because it shows the breakout by
station. All right, thank you.
That's all I was doing.
Okay, I'm done here. Thanks.
So that's the explanation for it, and I'll add two changes to your draft as a result of this comment. One is I'll move the $18,000 and the remainder of the amounts out of expenses and group it as part of listener support revenues. A second change is that I will add a disclosure to the footnotes disclosing what that premium expense is.
For each station, correct?
We can do it by each station, or we can do it in the aggregate.
No, I really use that number in monitoring our expenses. So I appreciate for each station.
Okay, not a problem. So Raul, you and I will work together and to grab that information. All right. Okay.
Parenthetical note: the 2011 audit did break it down by premiums down by station.
Okay.
You're on to question 2, legal expenses.
If there's no other comments on question 1, I'd like to move to question 2. Okay, so question 2 is a question with respect to legal expenses of $420,079, and the question is, can we see documentation for this? So yes, we can provide transaction level detail of this amount. The detail will show the amount incurred by each attorney, the date of the expense, and a really brief description of the service provided. So I can send that, I can work with Raul to pull together that schedule and send it out to the audit committee if that's what the audit committee wants. Or was there a more specific question as to what comprises that $420,000?
No, that's fine with, this is Kim, I'm sorry, it was my question. So that's fine with me when I see when the date was incurred. I mean, if you have what was paid and what was still owed in 2013, I guess, is what we need to say. What was outstanding at the beginning of 13 and what was still out, what was paid in 13 and what's still due at 13. Isn't that what should be in there?
Yes, it will show the detail of what makes it. So the $420,000 is the expense incurred for the year. So it'll show the detail of what that expense is comprised of.
Will it include what was paid that year, or just what was incurred?
It will just show what's incurred, the expense that was incurred. If you want the amounts that were paid to each attorney, we would have to run a separate report.
Okay.
Because the amount incurred by the expense may not be the amount that was specifically paid out to the attorney.
Okay. All right.
So do you want to see the date that each amount was paid, or do you want to see what comprises the legal expense?
I want to see what was the legal expense. I guess I'm just not so we have expenses incurred, and then we have legal expenses paid. Are those two different categories?
Those would be, right, two different categories.
Okay, so the legal expenses paid are further below on the page 19 through 20.
Well,
no.
The amount paid wouldn't be disclosed in your financial statements.
Okay.
We just report the expense that's incurred. We don't report legal expenses paid. We want to report any expense that you paid out to your vendors in your financial statements.
Okay, this is Carolyn on the stack, please.
Okay, you have Carolyn, you have the floor.
I need to interrupt. I would like to get through these questions first,
right,
prior to anybody from the committee asking questions. I think it makes it very difficult.
Well, may I inquire of Carolyn, is her question about the answer that the auditor is currently making, or is it a new question?
No, it's a clarification of his answer. Thank you. I think it's relevant at this point.
You have the floor, Carolyn.
Thank you. I would just like to know how we should best go about getting those two sets of figures. What was accrued and what was paid?
Well, we can run the report. I have the detail for the legal expense incurred. I can send that over, and I'll need to work through our rule to figure out the amounts that were paid. We would have to run a report from your check register to figure that information out.
I would appreciate that, and I suspect some others might also. Thank you so much.
This is Grant. I have one quick question here. I mean, I'm just confused because it says it has a line item for legal fees on page 20. So these you're saying are accrued costs? These, $350 for National, that's the same $420, and those are just accrued costs that year?
Right, the $420,000 are total legal costs incurred during the year. You may not have necessarily paid it during the year, but those are expenses that were incurred during the year.
Okay. Okay.
Who was just speaking? I'm sorry.
That was Kim. I'm done. Thank you, Grant.
No
we
problem.
Can move on.
Okay, so the third question, there's no other comments on the second question. The third question is a question with respect to the statement of activities by division, and the specific question reads, my understanding is that in fiscal 2013, WPFW booked a $200,000 in listener support revenue, which was accrued, recorded in MEMCs, and for which donors were given 2013 tax deductions. Due to WPFW's non-responsiveness to PCI compliance issues, the funds were held by the merchant and not deposited to WPFW's bank account until May 2014. The funds are fiscal 2013 listener support income. Were they accounted for as such, and the funds were pledged and processed by the station in fiscal year 2013? So this question is asking about listener intentions to give by listeners that were received during 2013 and when that revenue was recorded. So that revenue was recorded in May 2014 when the credit card company remitted the funds to Pacifica. And the reason why the revenue was recorded in 2014 when the cash was received and not in 2013 is because there wasn't sufficient or reliable support in 2013 to substantiate that a contribution had been made. These were instances where listeners were stating that they intended to donate to the stations, but there wasn't enough assurance there that a contribution had been made and what that amount was. So these essentially were treated as intentions to give rather than promises to give. And intentions to give don't get recorded as revenues. Does that make sense?
Yes. Were they? What year were they given tax deductions in?
So they were given tax deductions based on when the cash was received. So they were given tax deductions in 2014.
Okay.
And the forms that were issued in 2013 were for cash that was received in 2013, not when they intended to give.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Is there any additional questions of Grant?
Not on that.
This is Virginia,
yes?
From KPFA. Can I ask a couple of questions about what we just heard?
Yes.
Okay, so the question from Kim about fiscal year 2013 tax deductions. So what you're saying is that should be 2014 tax deductions, is that correct? That it wasn't 2013 tax deductions for that money, correct?
My understanding is that the tax deductions that were issued in 2013 was for the cash that was received in 2013.
Okay.
And for it.
Thank you. And I have, and the other question is on the legal fees on page 20. So somewhere in this whole report, it must show which ones were paid and which ones weren't paid. Is that correct?
We don't disclose that information. Well, you don't disclose that information in your financial statements. It's not customary to disclose that in your financial statements.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Virginia. Virginia. Are we any more questions on question 3 about statement of activities by division? Grant, I guess you can move on to question 4, interdivisional payables on page 21.
Yeah, so this is on page 21, so everyone can turn to that page.
There is no page 21.
I just noticed that as well as I was scrolling to page 21.
Thank you.
I think you want to look at page, let me see here, 18. Yes, go to page 18.
Yeah, see, that's the difference between the PDF numbers and your numbers.
Exactly. So this is on page 18 of the draft financial statements, and the question is, to whom does KPFT owe $504,000 as a liability? And you'll see other amounts for interdivision payables as well for the other stations. So the $504,000 that's listed in the interdivision payable is comprised of accumulated amounts that are due and owed to various stations. It's comprised of stations paying costs on behalf of the stations and also due to assessments that are charged to the stations. We have the detail that breaks out the amounts that are due and owed for KPFT that comprises the $504,000. So we can send that information out if the audit committee would like. But it's due to several amounts that are due and owed to various stations. And it goes back to the inception of time from when activity was occurring between the various stations.
This is Donald Goldmacher on that line, interdivision payables. So what you're saying here is that in 2013, WBAI was owed $3,182,000?
What that is saying is that WBAI owes $3.1 million.
They owe it to the network.
They owe it to various stations. So some of it could be to the national division, some of it could be to the other stations. I'll have to pull up that detail to confirm.
All right. So what this indicates on this line is that the only station that does not owe money anywhere in the network is KPFA. Is that correct?
That is correct.
I think that's interesting. That's an interesting observation.
Thank you, Donald.
This is Robert. I also think it's not accurate. That's the subject of my question, which is I went back to the last four audits and saw that number going up and up and up. KPFT is the go-to station for the other stations needing cash. We've paid their payroll. We've paid health insurance premiums so we wouldn't lose our coverage. There is no way that we owe $504,000, $208,000 of which was accrued in the last 2 years. It's just not accurate.
This is Kim.
Kim, you have the floor. You can...
Grant, I guess we'd like a real breakout of this number.
Okay. Well,
Jose Luis Quint is here.
We note your presence, Jose Luis. We're in the middle of having the auditor, Grant Lamb, answer questions.
So,
Grant, you can continue.
So the question is, what comprises the $504,000 that KPFT has an interdivision payable? I know part of that liability is due to the central service assessment to KPFT, and the remainder of that is due to accumulated amounts that have built up over numerous years. We would have to pull together the detail to send to you to figure out what that amount is.
Well, I'm requesting that you do, because that's a big number, and I just don't see how KPFT, could do that. If they've accrued that much in the last year, it's a mystery to the rest of us who have been watching KPFK's financials for a number of years. So, yes, please, send a report.
So,
hey, this is Robert. I'm sorry, I got disconnected and did not hear your response. But I agree. I would like some justification for how that number has gone up, and at least for the last four audits that I reviewed and sent you a schedule on, would require us to believe that $200,000+ was owed to other stations by KPFT in the last 2 years, and that just can't be true.
Okay. I don't know if you heard my previous response to the question, but... A portion of that $504,000 is due to the central service expense that was assessed to KPFT, and the remainder of the balance is due to amounts that have accumulated over numerous years of activity between the various stations. It sounds like the audit committee is requesting a schedule showing the detail behind what comprises that $504,000. So I can work with Raul to pull that information together.
Well, it sounds like, this is Donald Goldmacher, it sounds like, I guess, each of the stations would be useful to see a breakout.
Do you have that schedule readily maintained, Raul, or will we have to do some mining to figure out what those, to pull that schedule together in a format that's easy to comprehend?
Yeah. Yes, we have a reconciliation of that intercompany accounts. However, if you look at the 2012 audit report, KPFT carried $445,000 of interdivision payable compared to $504,000. That's about $60,000 shift from last year. So, and then KPFA's receivable was one. $1,382,000 compared to this year's $1,400,000. And that's being forwarded from year to year. So we, in order to get to the details of that, you have to go to each every individual audit report presented, and I think that's available. I could send out all the for the last 10 years, the audit reports of the last 10 years, and some audit reports have details of these intercompany totals, but no audit report in the last 10 years have any details on who owes what, except that the financial statements that are being issued by the auditors contain these by station, what the, each station owes or what station's receivable is. And KPFA has always carried a receivable, meaning they're the only ones who doesn't owe on a net basis, on an overall basis. They show a positive balance, which is a receivable balance. The rest of the stations carry a credit balance or a negative balance, which is a liability.
This is Kim.
You have the floor, Kim.
I don't understand where you can come up with these numbers where there's nothing written down that we can see easily. Like,
I'm sorry, Kim. I just mentioned to you where I got my numbers. It's on the audited financial statements. So you should go back and look at your 2012 audit report issued, and you will get the previous year's number, and you could compare the current year's number.
No, that's not what
I did that for 4 years,
right,
and the number's going up. As you admit, it went up $60,000 from the 2012 audit. Well, that wouldn't be non-current. That would be current.
And I could tell, we could tell you what really happened between last year and this year. But going back to 20 years ago, where we started accumulating this intercompany payable, it's a project. But if you look at the audit report, audited financial statements from year to year, there should be a breakdown of intercompany payables or receivable by station every year. So you could refer back. I could send you the 12 years worth of audited financial statements. And
I did that. And in the last 2 years, it went up $200,000 for KPFT. Are you suggesting, and in all four of those years, KPFT paid an average of 19% Central Services. So Central Services can't be the issue. Explain to me how it's going up.
I think the 19% that you were referring in your analysis is a 19% that is the accrual or assessment based on listener support. It doesn't necessarily mean that that's what actually remitted to the National Office or to the Pacifica Radio Archives. There is a difference between what was expense, as explained earlier, what was incurred, and what was actually remitted or paid up by the stations.
So you're saying that it wasn't paid?
Yes.
It was not paid. And our people are saying it was.
I can safely assume to you that for KPFT, there's about $60,000 that was not paid versus what was incurred. Whether it's Central Services, healthcare bill backs, or something else. But we could definitely find out what that $60,000 increase is accounted for. I'm just saying that to go back from year to year, from 20 years ago, how this balance accumulated will be a major project. But we could determine why this there is a $60,000 shift from last year to this year. And that is exactly, you know, just perfectly fine. We could actually get into providing you what that $60,000 was for.
Now, are the stations invoiced for these fees?
No, then we don't do invoices. We do an assessment.
So there's no paper trail for this. Somebody just says, this is what you owe, and it gets into our audit.
Well, no.
What a great way to hide missing money.
Let him answer, Robert.
Well, let me tell you the process of assessing the central services. It's been a practice in this organization that each station is assessed between 16 and 17% for each station for central services provided by the national office, and between 1.5% and 2.5% for services for Pacifica Radio Archives. The method of assessing this is computing the listener support of the previous month of the month and assessing the expense based on that percentages, and that's done every month. So, and then the method of payment, most of the station will pay exactly what was assessed the previous month, but some station is not able to afford the entire amount and will pay a partial payment of the previous month. And then it may accumulate and it may not, but nevertheless, we try to get everybody paid up current. But there were some instances where central services were not fully paid but were assessed to the station. So that's the difference.
I'd like the floor, please, Fred.
Is this Donald Goldmacher?
Yeah.
You have the floor, Donald.
Yeah, I think it's important to not kill the messengers here, both Raul and Grant. They're working with the numbers that exist in this organization and how these numbers were constructed over time. And this is an audit for year 2012-2013. I believe Raul was just being brought on board somewhere around that time. And this is his first whack at doing a full audit. So his explanation, what he just described as assessments to each station, sounds accurate to me. And I think, you know, though, Robert, you may have a gripe there, and it may be legitimate. If you look at the numbers for the other stuff, well, if you look at BAI, I mean, that's the 800-pound gorilla in the room, you know, of what BAI has incurred as payable that they have not paid. So I think that's the real one to chew over, not tonight, but another time.
This is Kim.
Kim, you have the floor.
Well, there should be some supplementary information we can get as to at least what transpired in the year of the audit. Is that possible, Grant? I understand you can't go back 20 years, which we're not asking. I mean, 2, 3, 4 years, but definitely this, the year of the audit, we should be able to see what was added in this year. I mean, the state has like 300, and I wasn't aware of that number at the end of 2013.
This is Grant, and yes, we certainly can provide you with detail of the 2013 activity of what caused that account to fluctuate. But to Raul's point, and the person before Raul, this is an accumulation of cost that's transpired over maybe 20, 25 years, and it hasn't been the organization's practice, is my understanding, to pay different stations back. So it's just been carried forward. So to determine what comprises those entire balances will be an exercise that will take a lot of time for Raul to figure out. But it is something that eventually does need to get cleaned up. The account shouldn't just run on like this forever. But from a consolidated standpoint, there's comfort that the receivable and the payable is net against one another, and it's zero on a net basis. But if you would like support for 2013, yes, that should be easily that should be easy for us to process and send to you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
This is Virginia from KPFA. May I ask a question about that?
Virginia, you have the floor.
Is it true? It's my understanding. I'm not sure about this. Has KPFA paid central services its 17 plus 2.5% the last 2 or 3 years? And if not, it sounds from what I'm hearing that you may be accumulating that for Texas but not for KPFA, or tell me if I don't understand that right.
I can answer that. You are asking about KPFA, right? Specifically KPFA?
Yes. Have they paid that 19.5% each of the last 2 or 3 years?
Yes, I believe so, yes. That's been done in the last 2-3 years.
Thank you.
Sure.
Does anybody else have a question about...
I'd just like to say I'm at a loss, because when we were about to lose network-wide the health insurance for our employees, they came to KPFT and said, can you help us out? Will you make this payment for us? Now, if I was holding a note from you for $504,000, I wouldn't have put it that way. I just said, we got to pay the health insurance, pony up that much money of what you owe us. And that isn't what's happened. And one time before, in the last couple of years, when we paid some other station's payroll. So I just am incredulous to that you believe that in the last 2 years, we've run up $200,000 worth of central services that we have not paid, even though our people here are assuring us they have been paid. So I'm just at a loss. And I would like that to be explained by Raul, or how the audit would verify that this is correct, or both.
Well, when we do the 2014, I believe you're accurate with that. And during the fiscal year 2014, certain advances were made by KPFT. They were able to pay up all their central services, at least for that fiscal year. I'm aware of that. 2014, they did not owe. But we're talking about 2013. I know that this 2014, I was fully aware that KPFT made some headways with their central services, healthcare buildbacks. They're the best station to pay healthcare buildbacks on time. And then you're absolutely right. Like sometime in October and November, they were able to advance advance some money to do that. But we're talking about 2014. This is 2013. This is a shift from 2012 to 2013. Like I said, we probably were able to determine what that $60,000 shift was for. But in 2014, you're absolutely right. KPFT did so well in paying up central services, paying healthcare billbacks, and advancing some money for other stations as well. I recognize that. But that's 2014.
Anybody else want to ask a question on this point?
I just think we need to wait and get the activity report to get some more enlightenment for me.
We're making very slow progress on these questions. We're still on question 4. Can we move to question 5 about the personnel costs for KPFK?
Okay. Sounds like there's no other questions with number 4. So question 5 is with respect to personnel costs at KPFK, and the question is, why is there a $37,000 difference between what is in the audit and what KPFK's business manager reported? So to answer that question, I need to see the report from KPFK's business manager. I don't have that report to identify the difference, and it's likely due to certain entries that were recorded during the audit to true up certain accounts. But I don't have the KPFK business manager report to reconcile that difference.
Well, I believe that Raul did a report that year also, and it should be on that as well.
Request for information. What line item are you talking about?
So we are looking at page 20, and we're looking at personnel costs for KPFK.
Okay,
and
thank you.
In their financial statements, it's reported at $1,857,672, and the question is, there's a $37,000 difference between this number and what's reported in the KPFK Business Manager report. I don't have the KPFK Business Manager report.
Well, what reports were your numbers based on then?
This is based off of a management's report, management functional expense report.
Can we get that report? We don't have the backup documents to know
sure.
where these numbers came from.
Certainly.
Okay, great.
Let me just make a note of that here. Okay, so if there's no other questions, I will send the backup report for KPFK. The sixth question is discrepancy with tax returns. So there's differences in the amounts of the income and expenses reported on the 990 compared to the income and expense report in the audited financial statements. And the answer to that is part of the reason is due to premiums. In your financial statements, the premiums, as I mentioned earlier, netted against the listener support. In the 990s, the premiums are presented gross, so the revenues and the expenses will be higher in the 990. And it's also due to adjustments that were posted during the audit. Typically, we would, in most instances, complete the 990 after the audit has been finished. In this case, we did not. The 990 was prepared prior to the completion of the audit, and since then, there's been numerous adjustments posted. So part of the reason is also due to the adjustments that have been posted. I'll be working with the tax team to determine the magnitude of the differences between the 990 and the financial statements. And those differences are large enough, we will be amending the 990. And it's likely what will happen based on my preliminary assessment of the differences.
Questions?
Chair, I just want to let you know that Lawrence is on the call.
Thank you, Lawrence.
Well, this is Kim, and I guess I'm troubled by the sort of moving target of premiums. I don't understand how they can not show up in our audit in such a way that the numbers are really different between the audit and the 990. I mean, I don't know how you want to account for it, but basically it's a huge expense. And there needs to be a really solid tracking system of our expenses and the, you know, reconciled with MEMSIS. And my understanding is you didn't do that. But this is like a lot of cash going in and out that really needs better tracking than what we have. Seems to be discrepancies between MEMSIS and the revenue, and to just sort of ignore this big chunk of change that's called the premiums. I'm getting confused in how it comes out a totally different number than the 990s.
Well, I agree with that statement. I agree there needs to be more transparency to what the premiums expense is. And so as we discussed earlier, we'll aggregate that amount and we'll include a footnote in your financial statements to break out what the premiums expense is per station. So we'll include that in your financial statements. And that's a big part of the variance between what's reported in your financial statements and what's reported in the 990.
I'll have to think about this for a while because whatever. It's not totally making sense to me, but I'm okay for now. Thank you.
Request for information.
Have
we always Yeah, and we always netted out the premiums from the listener support, or is this a recent thing?
You haven't, and correct me if I'm wrong, Raul, but I think this change was made last year. In previous years, it was presented gross in your financial statements, and the change was made as a request of the CPB. They wanted to show the amount net of revenues.
That's correct.
And that's also in accordance with GAAP. So we performed that research last year, and it's appropriate to show contributions of assets from incidental transactions to be reported net of the revenues. But really, this was driven by the...
In all the years it wasn't done that Central Services was overcharged?
Excuse me? What was that?
I said, wouldn't that suggest in all the years where it wasn't netted out that the stations were overcharged for Central Services?
No.
Because it wasn't netted out?
No, no.
They're actually being charged.
The computation of Central Services is internal to Pacifica Foundation. It's a method of assessing Central Services fees to the stations. It has nothing to do with the reporting requirements for the CPB or GAAP or IRS regulation. The procedure of assessing was internal to the organization to determine what amount will be assessed to each station based on the listener support number. And that listener support number, we use the gross amount that was recorded as listener support and no other income category.
This is Kim. My understanding is that had premiums not been taken out, KPFK would have shown over $3 million of revenue, and here it's like 2.7. So I think what Robert is saying, are we paying Central Services on the 2.7 or on the $3 million plus? And I think we're paying Central Services on the $3 million plus.
That's correct. It's on the gross amount of listener support.
Lawrence to the stack.
I've got you, Lawrence. Kim, are you finished with your question?
Yes.
Lawrence, you have the floor.
Yes, what's the total on Central Services that the stations are charged? Do you have those numbers in front of you? Or do you have them off the top of your head?
For the year?
Right, for the year.
There's a line in the financial...
I mean, for the year in question, for the audited year.
Right.
Yeah. There's a line on the audited financial statement for Central Services. So that's the amount that was charged to each station. I think
page 19.
Line 19 or 18?
It's on page 19.
Page 19.
Okay. Thank you.
And the total was... It's not indicated here. It's
right. That's why I was asking that question, and I don't have it in front of me. So
I'm looking at the audit.
I'm guessing that it's $1,684,814 because that's the offset amount, because that's an internal number and shouldn't be reported as a real income or expense.
Exactly.
They offset it with the elimination column.
Thank you, Robert. I see it. Yeah. You're correct.
Yeah, why isn't it broken out by station?
It is broken up by station. KPFA has $484,000.
And where's that? Where's that?
It's on page 19.
19, okay.
18, I'm sorry, 18.
Okay.
And then there's a line for Central Services.
Okay.
Is it 18? Yeah, 18. Sorry.
Well, I was on 19.
I'm sorry, it's 19.
There.
19, yeah, 19.
Okay, so I see the line for Central Services.
Yes.
And I see National PRA. blank, 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 and then the eliminations. Is that the line?